Oh, praise the Lord. You know where we're going. Those of you that were here last night, we're going to kick off in 1 Samuel chapter 22. And, and I'll talk to the Lord a minute while you get there. Dear Lord God in heaven, how sweet you are. Haste ye, Lord, your daughters, with your sweet presence, Lord. That you get mighty big around here, God. Bless your sweet name, Lord. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 22. We know that David had been on the run and had went different places trying to find relief and finally found it when he got alone with the Lord. And his situation didn't change none. But when the Lord's with you, it changes the way you feel about it. It says, David therefore departed thence. Oh, please stand. Please stand for the reading of God's Word. I don't know, maybe you'll remember it better if you stand. David therefore departed thence. He had been to the world and he didn't fit in, praise God, and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And every one that was in distress, and every one that was in debt, and every one that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. You may be seated. Oh, I was not upset or nervous when my hernia let go back in November, day after Thanksgiving. I was getting ready for prison and sharp pains. I couldn't hardly think. I thought it was my appendix because that's where it was located. The pains and the urgent care thought it was my appendix and drove myself to the emergency room and went in. I had peace the whole time, but it sure was sweet when my daddy walked in. It sure was sweet. When the brethren in my father's house came, when they heard I was in a place, it was a good week. I worked him to death, and I couldn't help a lick. but it was almost like a Christmas present, getting to see him a month before Christmas. I could only imagine how David felt, thought he was all alone, and then he had the Lord, and he had peace, and then it got sweeter as the brethren rolled in and everybody else that had troubles of their own but decided instead to trust that old hairy man that represented the Word of God. They heard that he was God's man, and to be right with God was to be on David's side. And so they came and joined themselves to David, declared themselves pilgrims. They abandoned their homes and declared themselves outlaws because they believed the Word of God.
Yep. Amen.
Got to have water to make steam. And among them that would come to him would be three brothers that would show up and be accepted into this host. And tonight, by the help of the Lord, I'd like to preach on this thought, fruit of the wounded. Fruit of the wounded. The sons of Zeruiah. The sons of Zeruiah. Oh. If you would, turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 2. In 2 Samuel chapter 2, these young men would come to him at some point in his years of being an outlaw. And as we stated last night, that he was 30 years old when he would become king of Judah. And he would reign in Judah for 7 years before he became king of Judah and Israel. And then in the years prior to that, we're looking at something like a decade of being an outlaw. These men would join themselves to him sometime in that decade. I don't know at what part, but they became some of his best soldiers before he was a visible king. So right here in 2 Samuel, at the end of 1 Samuel, King Saul had died. And at the start of 2 Samuel, after the mourning of Saul, in 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, Go up. And David said, Whither shall I go up? And he said unto him, Hebron. So David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam and the Jezreelites, and Abigail, Nabal's wife, the Carmelite, and his men that were with him, did David bring up, every man with his household, and they dwelled in the cities of Hebron." Hebron means fellowship, and it's been a special place to God for a long time. It was Abraham built that altar there and staked that tent down there, and it's been special to God for a long time. And these men probably never thought there'd be a day when this king they trusted by faith would have an actual throne, not just a clear spot among the briars, not just a place to sweep a spot in the cave or stack up some rocks for him. He actually had an actual throne. And it's not just for him, but he didn't just go up to fellowship by himself, but all them that helped him get there, all them that used to be discontented and in distress and in debt, found themselves marching up to a place of fellowship. Oh, well, they'd have a true anybody look like a king. They had sweated and bled that their king be glorified and honored. But it was not done. It was not done. There was still Israel. And for the next 7 years, their own countrymen, kindred, Judah and the Benjamites especially, would war for 7 years. Don't have time to go all the way through this chapter, but the Bible makes it plain that the Lord's hand was on the men of Judah because David was his pick, and the Benjamites was getting lesser and lesser and lesser. And so we're going to look at the son of Zeruiah that's mentioned the least right here in this chapter. There's a big battle here. It says in verse 17, "And there was a very sore battle that day." This is civil war, the men of Judah and David's men facing the remnant of Saul's men and the Benjamites. "And Abner was beaten, and the men of Israel before the servants of David." Abner is the captain of Saul's host, which Saul is already dead. "And there were three sons of Zeruiah there, Joab and Abishai and Asahel. And Asahel was as light of foot as a wild roe," that'd be a deer. "And Asahel pursued after Abner, and in going he turned not to the right hand nor to the left from following Abner. Then Abner looked behind him and said, Art thou Asahel? And he answered, I am. And Abner said to him, Turn thee aside to thy right hand or to thy left, and lay thee hold on one of the young men, and take thee his armor. But Asahel would not turn aside from following of him. And Abner said again to Asahel, Turn thee aside from following me. Wherefore should I smite thee to the ground? How then should I hold up my face to Joab, thy brother?" There's a precedent being set already. Joab is the more known of the brothers, the more fierce. But all three are great men. And Abner's more afraid of Joab than the one that's about to catch him. Because there's a reason he's captain of the host. He's a severe man. "Howbeit, he refused to turn aside, wherefore Abner, with the hinder end of the spear, smote him under the fifth rib, that the spear came out behind him, and he fell down there and died in the same place. And it came to pass that as many as came to that to the place where Asahel fell down and died, stood still. Joab also and Abishai pursued after Abner, and the sun went down when they were come to the hill of Ammah that lieth before Gia by the way of the wilderness of Gibeon, and the children of Benjamin gathered themselves together after Abner and became one troop and stood on top of the hill. And there's some talking that goes on there, but these men found their brother dead. So of the three boys, this is the first one to die. Praise the Lord. He got to at least see David on his throne before he died. But he would die in combat as a fairly young man, the youngest of the three. And the Lord wants us to know of these men. Two of them are listed as mighty men, and the other is the captain of the host. Asahel is listed among David's mighty men that we just read of his death. I don't know what exploits he had. Probably lots of them. But the Lord wanted us to know how he died. Now his death would cause his older, or I don't know if it's an older brother, but would cause the prominent brother his first rebellion. Asahel's name just simply means God has made. And when God makes something, he usually uses it, and he used him. The connotation's to be used. So he lived for the Lord, believed the Lord, fought for the Lord, and died in the use of the Lord. That's all we know about this man. But he's counted as mighty when Holy Ghost wrote this word. So now we have Joab. Joab's name means Jehovah fathered. And in the next page or so, in chapter 5, those 7 years is just in this little handful of chapters, two or three chapters, 7 years go by. Joab's first time he disobeys King David is when he sends word for Abner to come back under the guise of David. Abner returns and he murders him. It's the first time he did what he wanted more than what the king wanted. He's still obedient to the king. He still loves his king. But that's the first time he did what he wanted instead of what the king wanted. And it broke David's heart. It broke David's heart when this thing happened. And I wish I could find it on the... Oh, here it is. Praise the Lord, I've seen it. And so here's what King David said after this. King David would attend Abner's funeral because he said he was a great man. They had already made a peace treaty. He had already stopped this bloody war. And this man obeyed himself instead of the king. And King David would say in verse 39 of chapter 3, "And I am this day weak, though anointed king, and these men, the sons of Zeruiah, be too hard for me. The Lord shall reward the doer of evil according to his wickedness." So he promised that Joab would someday pay for what he done. But he also, that's a hard man when you're too hard for King David. That's a hard man, these sons. But the Lord wasn't done with Joab just because he disobeyed. In chapter 5, the war with Israel would come to a head. And in verse 3 of chapter 5 of 2 Samuel, it says, "So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah." That's where I got my numbers last night. And then it says, "And the king and his men went to Jerusalem, a city of peace, unto the Jebusites," some of them mites that took over the city of peace. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar's presence is not there no more. Not Nebuchadnezzar, forgive me, Melchizedek, king of Salem. Now it's held by the enemy. And it says, and the Jebusites went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come in hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion, the same as the city of David. So these Jebusites said that this place is so strong that blind men and crippled men could defend it against the best army. And David's looking at that big city that is his by right. And David said on that day, verse 8, Whosoever giveth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites, and the lame and the blind that are hated of David's soul. He don't hate lame and blind people. He hates anybody holding that city from him. He shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, The blind and lame shall not come into the house. So David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. And David built round about from Milo and inward. You can find in another place, He said, whoever takes this city for me that is rightfully mine, that is so well girded, can be captain and chief. Joab was the man. You can find it in other places in your Bible. He would take that city, and that's how he got to be captain of the host. He earned it through blood. He's a fierce man. And I don't want to talk too much about him because I really want to get to Abishai. Joab's name means Jehovah Father. It is his name. And he would be very useful all through David's life. He would be captain of the host. And after he finally united Israel and Judah in the following chapters, I know in chapter 8 is one of them. Glory to God. I think it's the next chapter that the Lord promises David that his seed will be on the throne forever. And David gets to looking around and sees all these enemies that have been getting the upper hand while there's been civil war amongst God's people. And then David starts cleaning house. And guess who's at the head of the army? Old Joab. I got a good message on chapter 8, but you ain't going to hear it tonight or this week. But he goes one by one. And he whoops them neighbors that have been encroaching on what belonged to God, and he takes it back. That's what I call the message. Taking ground is what I call it. Praise God! But Joab's the head of all that. Joab, well, he's just that kind of a man. He just one after the other, he goes gets them, and Abishai right alongside of him. Usually, Abishai's number two in the army. Joab's the head. Abishai, his brother, is the second. Joab would mess up four times. He would kill Abner against the king's wishes. He would kill the king's son Absalom against the king's wishes. He would kill Amasa against the king's wishes. And he would side with Adonijah. Against the king's wishes, which is one of the king's other sons when the king wanted Solomon, and he sided with Adonijah. So the four times he went against his king, and three of them, actually all four of these men die partially because of him and his action. And not a one of them is in a war setting. He kills all these men under a banner of even though they're at war with Absalom, he catches him when he can't defend himself. So he doesn't mind. He just doesn't play by the rules. So that when you come to the list of mighty men, you will not find Joab. Now, turn with me to Chronicles, 1 Chronicles chapter 11. Just go ahead and stay there. We're going to look at his brother, Abishai. So in Chronicles 11 is the second listing of the mighty men. The other's in 2 Samuel. And The same event is in both texts, but it's a little more clear here to me anyways. And you're looking at this big list of mighty men, and Joab is not included. He is the captain of the host, but his proneness to disobey, I guess, the Holy Ghost did not want him listed as a valiant man. You would even find his armor bearer listed in this list. It says such and such, the armor bearer of Joab. But you do not find Joab. But what you do find is Abishai. And the Bible tells us right here in Chronicles 11. let me find it on the page. And it says in verse 20, and Abishai, the brother of Joab, he was chief of the three. For lifting up his spear against 300, he slew them and had a name among the three. We're going to discuss the three here in a second. But in the Bible, you'll find it lists Abishai. Typically, it'll say the brother of Joab. And then sometimes it'll say also say the son of Zeruiah. And then when you find Joab, it almost always says the son of Zeruiah. And so this is the third brother. And it always tells us he's Joab's brother. So Joab is the preeminent one. Joab is the one, if you mentioned one in Israel, he would be the one that would be more likely to be known. He's the famous brother. But I'd rather be Abishai. We're going to look at Abishai for a few minutes, and then we're going to look where these men came from. So now we have Abishai. One of the first places you'll find Abishai before David was ever a king of Judah. Saul was pursuing him. This is toward the end of 1 Samuel. Saul was pursuing. I think he had 3,000 with him. I'm just going to tell it, not turn there for sake of time. And David and his men are looking down there at him, and they go to sleep. Abishai says, let me go down there and stick him to the ground. That's what Abishai says. Did I tell you that there's some hard men? They're hard men ready to act. Yeah. And David says, no, no, no. And then he says, we'll go down there and steal his water jug and his bolster. We'll go steal his water jug and his bolster. He said, he'll go with me. Well, guess who went with him? Abishai. So they army crawled down among 3,000. It said, the Lord put us deep sleep on them men. They went down there and he got his water jug and his bolster, and they went back. And then David would shout back, and they hollered at Abner, captain of Saul's host. And then that was the day that Saul finally decided to leave him alone and go fight Philistines. Ain't God good? And Abishai, oh, he's so precious. I like this man. We need men like this man. And he was with David when Absalom turned on David and civil war broke out again, and they're leaving, and there's old Shemaiah, one of the kinmen of Saul, slinging dust and rocks and cursing David. He said, let me take your head off. He said, no, I earned this cussing. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what he said. On the way back, there he is again. Guess what Abishai said? Let me take his head off now. David said, no. David said, no. Always ready to fight. Abishai means father of a gift. Everyone seems to agree that that means generous. And on this day in the listing of the mighty men, before it listed him, it tells what he done. Right here in 1 Chronicles chapter 11. And it says in verse 15. Now three of the 30 captains went down to the rock to David into the cave of Adullam. And the host of the Philistines had camped in the valley of Rephaim. So this is back in the Adullam days. These boys have been with him for a while. And it said, now we're at verse 16, and David was then in the hold, and the Philistines' garrison was then at Bethlehem. I don't know about you. I'm so tired of the enemy having my country. I'm so tired of seeing the enemy in my hometown. The place he grew up, the fields where he tended sheep, even the place where that old preacher anointed that head is now a Philistine garrison. Oh, how that'd bother ye. He's homesick for a place that wasn't there no more. And it said that, and David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem that is at the gate. He remembers he'd come in out of them fields with them sheep he'd been tending, get a little relief, and he'd stop by the gate on the way home, get him a dipper, that cold, sweet water of home.
Yeah.
And now he's thinking about them nasty, filthy Philistines a-sipping his water he grew up on. It kills me, man. I told a preacher the other day, we make me sick. That's what I told him. The only person that makes me happy sometimes is Jesus. I make me sick. Fundamental Baptists make me sick. My men that won't regard God's Word make me sick. It just makes me sick when I look around. And I ain't trying to throw no pity party, but I know the solution for it. And there's only one solution for it, and that's Him and His movement and our obedience to Him. He's a longing. And then it says, and the three break through the host of Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. But David would not drink of it, but poured it out to the Lord. He said, my God forbid it me that I should do this thing. Shall I drink the blood of these men that have put their lives in jeopardy? For with the jeopardy of their lives they brought it. Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these three mightiest. And it says, and Abishai, the brother of Joab, he was chief of the three. For lifting up his spear against 300, he slew them and had a name among the three. Of the three, he was more honorable than the two, for he was their captain. Howbeit, he attained not to the first three. So that means that this man isn't just always near the king. It's one thing to obey the king, to obey King Jesus when he gives you a direct order. Well, you find few enough people willing to do that. But how many of us are so sensitive to our king that when he just wants something, that it'll cut us? Not a direct commandment, not fetch me that, but his king had a longing, and it bothered him. It bothered him so much that he went to two other men. It says he was their captain, that he would go to two other men and say, I'll go if you'll go. Our king wants a sip of his water from his hometown. He said, he wants to taste what he grew up on. You know how long David's been away from home? He wasn't even fighting age when he got drafted and pulled away. You know how long it's been since he had a sip of Bethlehem water? He said, come on, boys. Our king wants to drink water. He said, I tell you what, if you'll crank a bucket and you'll pour it in the jug, I'll hold off the Philistines. That's what it said. And on that one day, he took up his sword. And when the Philistines came out like a stirred up hornet's nest, he said, keep a cranking, boys. I got them. Oh, he was willing to stand that his king would be pleased. Oh, just, whoo, glory, just that it just in case it would please the king. Every now and again, one of them say, you better look, make sure he's all right. How deep is this thing anyway? Oh! I wonder if he kept count. They say he's still counting. I hope he used Mississippi's. He probably used Philistines. One Philistine. Two Philistine. Three Philistine. Hey, you boys better crank faster. His blood pool's getting closer to the well. We don't want no blood in that thing. Hey. I say, we just need to obey the Lord. We need to be sensitive to even His longings. Glory. Hey, that could. Don't that help somebody? Oh, just because he thought it would please his king. And it did. And he knew it pleased the God of his king. He got it back. And he said, this is too precious to swallow. Oh, what faithfulness. You see, that's an object of faith. That's an object of faith. That cup of water. They went by faith that it would please the king. And you ain't going to go off on something thinking you ain't going to make it back. Say, Lord, will help us get him that drink of water. It wouldn't do nobody no good if he didn't get to drink it or give it to the Lord. Oh, you find Abishai all through the war passages. I never found him. Found him several times wanting to do his own thing. But when the king spoke, he always minded him. Never found him disobey one time. And as y'all remember last night, you know, David had a personal guard. He had a special unit to keep him safe. But when that giant in his last battle was going to slay him, it says he thought to slay him, guess who it was that was so close by that secured him? This very same Abishai. Last night, that giant Ishbi-Benob, dweller of Nob, thought to slay David with the new sword. Do you remember? It was Abishai that secured David, that propped up the king. David's armor guard wasn't so close to the king. I don't know how far he was when he seen that giant beelining for his king. But he got there in time. Oh, I like Abishai. I like Abishai, willing to give, even of his own blood, even of his own life, in honor of this king. What makes men like this? What makes men like this? Excuse me. The sons of Zeruiah. You'll find Zeruiah's name 26 times in your Bible, but only found a direct reference to him once. I thought, man, these are some bad dudes. They must have had one more bad daddy. The Word of God never tells their daddy's name. Closest thing it comes to it is when they buried Asahel at the end of chapter 3, there where we were. Says they put him in his father's sepulcher in Bethlehem. Their daddy was buried in Bethlehem. It means he was a man of Judah, I imagine. So who is Zeruiah? Turn with me to Chronicles chapter 2. Who is Zeruiah? Who is this that produced these men? Chapter 2, verse 16. And the Bible is giving us the children of Jesse in verse 13. And Jesse begat his firstborn Eliab, and Abinadab the second, and Shema the third, Nethaneel the fourth, Radai the fifth, Ozem the sixth, David the seventh, whose sisters were Zeruiah and Abigail. And the sons of Zeruiah, Abishai and Joab and Asahel, three. This lady produced these men. A lot of men say there's so many sissies around because there's not enough daddies. And I would agree with that. But that's not a 100% good enough excuse. A mama can make men. A mama can make men. Mrs. Ruia's name means wounded. Her name means wounded. It means to crack as by pressure, hence to leak, distillation, as in balsam. In other words, that's where you get the balm of Gilead. It means to, she's willing to be hurt for healing. This is David's sister. So when them brethren came down to him in the cave of Adullam, I believe there was a sweet sister with her three boys. And she's willing to be an outlaw. It says he sent his family to Moab. Remember we read last night when he had his 400 men, captain of them, he sent his mom and dad and them to Moab. And I imagine the wives and mothers, this lady was willing to be an outlaw. Oh, she's willing. She only had three things to give, and she gave all three. Oh, she had three boys, but she believed that old hairy man that represented the Word of God. She believed it so much that she didn't say, God, I'll give you two and keep one. No, sir. That old hairy man, oh, glory to God, old Samuel, hey, he came by the way of a woman, too. Hey, there's that woman that said she poured out her soul before the Lord. She uttered, oh, glory to God, and it gave a last judge of Israel. Oh, he bring the Word of God. He come down there, and he said that her brother was a rightful king by the Word of God. And she believed the Word of God so much that she said, King Saul ain't getting my boys. She said, I'm giving them to God in His Word. Oh, don't tell me that didn't hurt. You got an outlaw brother, don't look like no king. Growing up, he just tended sheep. And now they say he's the head of all of God's people. But she believed her Bible. She couldn't see it, but she believed her Bible. Even if it was hairy and walked down the farm lane. Oh. She gave her three boys to war. She gave her three boys to the Word of God. And trusted the Lord that sent His Word. We see so many people, they'll say, my son, everybody's so proud of their sons. Their son could be a deadbeat and they're still proud. They'll say he's got the high score in Mario Kart. My son's a lawyer. My son's a doctor. My son's this. My son's this. You ask Mrs. Ruia, the world's saying your sons are outlaws. Everybody hates your sons. But my sons believe their Bible. My sons are serving the king even when it ain't popular. Oh, we need some of that. We need some of that. Well, we need less varsity jackets. Oh, glory to God, and more worn out Bibles. Oh, it kills me. Oh, it kills me. Oh. My son worked 120 hours last week down the plant. Oh, good. His kids don't even know who he is. Congratulations. That's a nice bass boat you ain't got time for. Hey, I know I'm right. This woman believed it so much. You know how bad that had to hurt? Taking them young men, looking at her brother. David, please don't get my boys killed. Here you go. We need more mamas that say, Jesus, please keep my boys. Here you go. Yeah. That's what we need. Yeah. That's what this country needs. Right. Oh! You won't tell me they weren't praying. She wasn't praying for her name's broken. Oh, glory to God. It says a broken heart and a contrite spirit to the Lord. Well, here. Moab ain't ever been so holy as when mama was down in Moab praying for them boys. Oh, glory! Shh. That's what we need. That's what we need. Oh, boys, that just surrender to the King. Even His whims. That's what we need. Oh, there's a well-known evangelist. He sort of specialized in writing about revival, named Leonard Ravenhill. Been reading some of his books, trying to just glean a little bit. His mama, I found they copied a note out of his journal. He was in a prayer meeting after he was born. After his mama labored and had him, within an hour or two, she laid her hand over in that cradle. And she said, "Lord, let him be a preacher or don't let him live." Boy, that's a conviction there, ain't it? Boy, that's what we need. That's what we need. They'll sign them up for tutors. Won't teach them how to pray. I believe in teaching them how to pray before they know who they're praying to. That way, they know what to do when they get to meet Him. That way, when you're not there, they know who to go to. They're hard men. This country needs hard men. We need them. We need hard men. Just a couple more little things. Not much at all. I know that Proverbs 22:15 says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child." It's bound there, naturally. Everybody says, "Not my baby." According to God, who can't tell a lie, there's a little ribbon tied around your heart and it says foolishness. But the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. I don't believe Mrs. Ruia suffered much foolishness. I believe she got it out of him and then sent him to David. Because when they got to David, as we just read, "Ye sons of Zeruiah, you're too hard for me." That's what we need. Men sensitive. And guess who brought them men? A woman. Miss Abby, I don't know where you're at. She might be in the nursery. I don't know. But she's going to be as responsible for James as you are. Maybe more so. As I studied this message, God gave it to me, I thought of Miss Georgie. I thought of Miss Trula Moody and her three boys, Brother Harvey. She brought them up to fear the Lord, serve the King. I bet they couldn't talk bad about King David when they swung by the house. She said, "Don't you talk that way about your King. Mom, I've been with him more than you had." "No, I've been with the one that called him." "He can't mess up. You mind David. Even on his bad days, you mind David." And Joab did. We need broken-hearted mamas that'll give up their boys that somebody will escape hell.